Access All Areas on Foo Bar Radio.
Good evening, it is Access All Areas live on Foo Bar Radio. I'm Bobby Norris.
And I'm Stephen Lang. Hi.
How are you?
Great.
Are you?
Yeah.
You're all good?
Really good. You've had a long day.
I had a long day, babes. That's what we like. We like a long day. And it's only going to get longer, but we're in for a really good show. So we've got a jam-packed show this evening.
We sure do.
We're going to be discussing some showbiz news, as we always do. We still have a bit of showbiz goss.
Yep.
We'll be speaking to Thomas Hartley from Married at First Sight UK. And TikTok stars Stuart and Frances will be here to join us live in the studio.
Lovely.
But first, Stephen, how have you been, babe?
Well, went away on my little vocation.
Yes, tell me.
Rode once because I got on the boat and buggered my wrist up. But there you go, these things happen.
You've got to be careful with them elbows.
Well, this is the problem. Everyone was like, I was like, I can row, but it hurts. So I only rode the once. But then I ended up on the Sunday, pulled out of all my rows. And then I was like, do you know what? I'm going to go to the spa in this hotel that we're staying at.
Ooh.
I'm going to have a few glasses of wine at lunch. Lovely. And then I'm going to have a nap. And that's what I did. And then dressed up as a Star Trek officer for the fancy dress party in the evening. Got absolutely, you know...
Mashed.
Got home about 3 and... Yeah, anyway, so all good.
That was the spa. Did you have a nice little
spa
massage?
Spa was lovely.
Facial.
No, oh, sorry, when I say spa, I just mean sauna and a steam room and a little jacuzzi, you know.
Yeah.
This was a Holiday Inn in Peterborough. So, you know, let's not get too excited. funnily enough, I saw one of your old TOWIE co-stars there.
Really? Oh, did ya?
Yeah.
Who?
Dan Osborne.
Oh, where was he?
I didn't speak to him, but I was like, what are you doing in Peterborough? it was really good. How are you?
Really good, thank you, Bose. So been a busy one, but you know me, like to be busy. So I was on GMB this morning.
Lovely.
Starting the morning with a good debate.
Who was presenting?
So we had the lovely Charlotte Mr. Ed Bowles.
Lovely.
So the debate is, because apparently they reckon in the last couple of years, the statistics are that the air rage is going up and they're like, oh, is it because of alcohol?
Yep.
So the debate was, should we ban alcohol on planes? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, we can't penalise everyone because someone's had a row. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
So anyway, I think your holiday starts at the airport. And actually, even if you ban it on flights, people are just going to go to the airport and get pissed anyway.
But then there is the argument, then they wouldn't let you on the plane if you were too pissed.
Yeah, and quite rightly so. Yeah. No one should be pissed on a plane.
No.
On any transport.
Not, you know, wankered, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's a given to me, but I don't think that we can penalise Bertie and Gertie that are going to the Canaries for a week.
Yep, hear that.
Some people ain't been away since the COVID. Cost of living, do you know what I mean? Some people ain't going away this year.
Yep.
Between heating and eating, do you know what I mean? Yep. So if someone's managed to get a week's holiday, we can't say you ain't having a shabbily on the plane. That's my fault.
I can see that, yeah.
And then I've been out and about beating on the streets.
Beating what?
Beating the pavement. Is that what they call it? Beating the pavement?
Yeah, let's go with it.
Yeah, sounds good. And obviously, Bobby on the street. And a really good one this week. But just because, obviously, summer's here now.
Mm.
It really is right now in London. It's the hottest it's been all day. And Love Island starts Monday.
Mm.
So I want to know who's going to be watching it. So that was kind of my Bobby on the Street question.
So we've got that coming up a bit later then.
So that's going to be coming up soon. And talking of showbiz stories, what's caught your eye, Mr. Stephen?
Well, there's no denying that Philip and Holly have continued to... dominate is not even the word. I mean, it's like first story on the 10 o'clock news some nights. Obviously, it all came out that Phil had, late last week, that he did have relations with someone else on the set of This Morning. Unwise, but not illegal, was the words that he used. Relationship with a younger man on the show, and has left and seems to have left all of his ITV shows and lost all of his sponsorships as a result. Holly's released a statement, isn't she, saying that she confronted him at the time and he denied it when she'd heard rumours. Eamon Holmes has been, putting his 2 cents in on GB News, and it's a lot. It's a lot, isn't it, to take in.
So what's come out today, because obviously where I've just not really been on the phone, done a couple of Instagram stories as you do, but I've not really been seeing anything online. Anything come out today?
A little bit. There was there's some footage that's been unearthed of the guy who Philip had his thing with on the show, and also pictures of him at various things, the NTAs and all that sort of thing, up on stage with the crew. And, you know, there seems to be a lot of questions about how much people did know, those that work at ITV high up. Questions are being asked about what was done at the time. And it just seems to be a very, very messy situation. Mm. And to throw into that, people that work on it still have to make the show every day.
Of course.
I feel quite sorry for a lot of them who won't know, won't have known what was going on and have to turn up to their jobs and do their best. Definitely seems, I actually had it on today. As far as I could tell, they didn't have any actual guests. It was all their experts in. They did a live thing from the EastEnders set.
Nice.
But they didn't have anyone come in and do an interview. I might have missed it, so I might be wrong.
I'm just seeing now that ITV have just announced that they are launching an external review into how they handled the whole affair.
Right.
I guess we're calling it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know a lot of people have been calling for that. And in terms of what I've also, as we all have in the press, seen people and on social media calling for, a lot of people, I feel like a lot's falling on Holly now.
Yeah.
She's, from what I saw yesterday, adamant, well, front page of some newspapers, she's coming back Monday.
Yeah. She's got, I think there was a source quote saying that she felt she had nothing to be ashamed of, and yeah.
Yeah, and she's in that situation, I think, because some people feel quite strongly that she, of course, if she didn't know anything, she'd be turning up Monday as normal. Mm. Some people not so sure. What's your thoughts?
Oh God, I mean, I wouldn't want to be in her position, like, put it that way, because how do you get through these next weeks until the summer holidays start for the this morning presenters and put that smiley persona on? I feel like perhaps she feels like she needs to do that because there is no other way. If she doesn't, then it's an admission that something's wrong, right? Either in yourself or how you're presenting yourself, how whatever it may be. So, yeah, I think she's kind of in a bit of a corner. I certainly don't envy the position that she's found herself in.
I think as well, I think we've been reporting on this for about 2 weeks on the show. Bearing in mind, it seems a lifetime ago, 2 weeks, we were just sat here talking about the alleged fallout between two presenters, which is actually like
being small
so
for
mild
now.
compared to where we are now. And I kind of feel like a can of worms opened.
Yeah.
And it seems a completely different kettle of fish now.
Yeah.
This is no longer two people have had a Barney or a fallout. So it's a tricky one. But what I do think is we haven't seen or heard the last of this.
No. And that's been alluded to quite a lot. And as we've seen with Eamon talking on the reg, he obviously has a lot of opinions about how ITV treated everyone, treated Holly and Phil kind of in a particular way, in a way that they didn't the rest of the staff. Just calls into questions the way that it works on many shows, I imagine. You know, the idea that people sort of are nasty and don't, you know, they're not the characters that they present themselves as.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, I mean, the problem is that that can be in any job, right? I mean, that's not
whatever
just,
your job, whether that's TV, any industry in the land is gonna have people like that. So I think it's unfair to think it's just people in TV. Mm.
But you've met a few over the years.
Yeah, one or two. we won't sit and name and shame. Not this week anyway.
What?
But stay tuned, folks. But that's just life, isn't it? Mm. But I think because this has picked up such a momentum now, and this, as we say, has become a completely different story to what it was 2 weeks ago when we sat here. And from what I'm seeing, and social media is, I think, driving a lot of this.
Yeah.
Bearing in mind, a lot of stuff's been on social media for years now. I think ITV now coming out and releasing a statement that they are going to launch an external investigation on how they handled the affair. I think's the right thing to do.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
For the channel as well, because I think, like anything, if you've done all you can do, I guess ITV won't approach, you know what I mean? Mm. So I think for them to come out and say that, because unless they didn't say that or they didn't get an independent review, people are always going to speculate.
Yeah.
So at least if ITV are going, do you know what, get someone in, mm-hmm. our cards are on the table. I don't think that's a bad move from ITV.
No, neither do I. I think it's really all they can do.
But I'm sure, as we say, this story's gonna, this ain't going anywhere.
Run and run. We'll be talking about it next week.
So, yeah.
No doubt. What about you? Anything caught your eye this week, Bob?
Well, I mean, I don't think we can't touch upon the legend that is Tina Turner.
Hmm.
I mean, God rest her. 83.
Yep.
Which to me, I think that's no age nowadays.
Yep, true. Yep.
Some but people go to 104.
Turns out she was quite ill for a long time, though, wasn't she? And we didn't necessarily know all of the details of that.
But icon.
Icon.
Next level.
Icon.
No one can strut about and bowl about on a stage like Tina.
In a pair of high heels and a mini dress.
Do you know what? If I could get thighs like that.
Poof. You'd be a rich man.
On the river, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think she. Obviously, it's really sad, but I did see an interview with Cher actually.
We love a bit of Cher.
We do. Surprise, surprise. who was a long-term friend of Tina's? They'd sort of grown up in the music industry together in the '60s, and she was sort of saying that the last time she spoke to her, Tina was saying that she felt like it was her time. She'd done enough with her life and career and she was ready. And I think that can happen when you're long-term ill.
Yeah. Right?
You know, you don't, no one likes to live life suffering.
No.
So,
That's us being as fans. When someone's so iconic, maybe it is selfish because we love them and we love their back catalogue, who they are, what they stand for. So, yeah, maybe it is a bit selfish to want them to go on forever. Of course, no one can. It'd be lovely if we all could. But, I guess maybe if she's turned around and said that to Cher...
Who are we to argue?
Who are we to argue? But I just think there's certain people in life... Of course it's sad when anyone dies, obviously. But there's just certain people you don't ever want it to happen to.
Yeah, it's true.
And when it's icons and... The older we're getting, Stephen, as we know, we're in our 20s now.
Mm.
So,
shocking.
But we're seeing a lot of people come and go. We ain't seeing many people come. That's sperm race. Stephen, did anyone get back to you from Germany about sperm race?
They didn't, actually.
No.
A couple of my friends did forward me the link, though. So that was great. Thanks,
but,
guys.
Tina, we love you, babes.
We do. Simply the best.
You are. I won't sing because she wouldn't want that.
Not in her memory, no, babe.
She wouldn't want that. I'll tell you what's caught me showbiz-wise.
Yeah.
You know I'm a Spice Boy.
Yes.
I think you was probably a bit of a secret Spice Boy.
Not as much, but yes. Yeah.
You didn't mind them.
Yeah, certainly not.
Well, Mel B has promised that Vicky B is going to rejoin the Spice Girls for the first time in 11 years.
Don't believe it.
What do you mean? You think she's prick-teasing us?
She said similar stuff before.
Oh, don't ruin my hopes.
She didn't do the Queen's Jubilee. They didn't do Charles's coronation. Like, the opportunities are like... I don't know.
I'm trying to think of what it could be. Would it be Glasgow? Have they confirmed if they're doing it or not?
The full lineup for Glastonbury's been confirmed now, so it wouldn't be this year if it was.
I want to know, when is Vicky B turning up? Because I'm there.
Would you go to Glastonbury?
I've never been Glastonbury. If Vicky's turning up, you can't have Posh turn up and then Bobby Norris don't. You know what I mean? If Vicky's going to put on her LBD get her Labutins out, I'm going to turn up. I'll get my wellies out.
I can see you getting interviewed by Joe Wiley somewhere in the crowd outside. Look, I
mean, they throw cups of piss though, don't they? That's why I've never been a festival boy.
It's not Reading.
That was more Fee Festival, I think.
Yeah, Fee Festival, yeah. Or Reading, the rock festivals. Glastonbury's kind of such an established thing. It's not really like that.
It's not a piss throwing show.
No, it's not. It's nice. I went once. I went Beyonce here. Funnily enough, I'm seeing Beyonce tomorrow.
God, I'm so jealous.
So that was 11 years ago.
So do you think Mel B's telling us bullshit lies, Stephen? Mr. Ling.
I think she thinks that she's telling the truth. I reckon, because I reckon Victoria's been like, yeah, of course I'll do it eventually. But I don't know what it would benefit her at the moment. Do you know what I mean?
This is what I mean. Like, let's face it, Vicky don't need to do this.
No.
She really don't need the check.
The rest could do with it.
I think the other four are all right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No complaints.
I don't think they're struggling too bad in the cost of living. But I do think that Vic out of really don't need to do it. But if she's turned around and gave Mel the nod, and I just think I want to see the five. It's nostalgia.
Yeah, I get you. Yeah.
And if Vic's going to do it, I'm there. I'll get up. I'll sing.
No, babe, stop it. Why are you threatening everyone with this?
Do you know what it is? It's because I got to the final Celebrity Karaoke. Inside of me, I think there's a pop star.
I think it was your charisma, uniqueness, nerve and talent that got you.
No, I think it was my voice.
Well, I'm sorry to ruin the vibe for you, Bob, but you're wrong.
Well, they said I've got an unusual tone and a range like no one else.
Well, that's true. That is
just
true.
Just not a good range or tone.
Just a tone and a range.
Yeah, we'll just turn the mic off. Other people do that.
Yeah, VB's done it before, hasn't she?
Do you know what? Even if you take the Duracell out of Vicky's mic, I don't care. Mime. I don't even care if she don't even open her mouth. And
you just
lip-sync.
Want her to point.
Just point. Get David there. We love a bit of DB.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm here for it.
Well, so, look, I would like to see it happen. I can't see it
happen. We've got to get him in the studio. So, girls, I know you're listening. Get in touch.
Nelsie's a big, big fan.
Just get involved because, well, we should go together. We could interview them.
Yeah,
basically. Imagine Vicky here.
I'll do it.
Mel.
I'll do that.
Emma. Bit of Jerry.
Like, I wasn't really sure on the Spice Girls. They're all right.
He'll come in on his day off for it.
Yeah, I would, to be fair. That would be an exception. Might take a half day and have a little drink afterwards.
And Queer Eyes, Tan France, welcomes his second baby.
Yeah, via surrogate. I'm actually a big Queer Eye fan. Although I've just lost my Netflix account because it was borrowing my friends. So they're
getting hot on that now, aren't they?
Boom, gone.
Netflix ain't playing games.
No. So good news for him. And actually something we can talk about later with Stuart and Francis, because they are both on a surrogacy journey at the moment too. So that's awesome.
Absolutely.
So Love Island is coming back, right?
Yeah, back Monday. And I'm here for it.
You are here for it.
I'm here for
it. You're not a bit overloaded with Love Island.
Oh, I'm not overloaded. You can't overload me enough with love, Stephen. I'm a lover. Now, on that note, I'm going to play a little clip from Bobby on the Street. And guys, you know where you get the full video. It is on Instagram and it is at 888foobar. But here is just a little tease.
We need some more real people. We need some builders. We need some Tesco staff. We need to get back down to the community a little bit.
Maybe like to not have it on every night, because it is such a big commitment, to maybe like spread it out a bit more so that more people can watch it.
No, I do like the way it is at the moment. I don't think I would change anything.
Get the gays involved.
Yeah.
Literally get the gays involved.
Definitely.
BBC I Kissed a Boy shows you exactly how you can do it. You can do it. It can be done.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's possible, but more baby oil.
A mixed bag of answers. And as I say earlier, I wanted to know, will you be watching? And, well, they want the baby oil. Some want the gays. Some want a builder in there.
Yeah, fine.
I mean, I'm not mad at any of them suggestions.
No, I'm not. You couldn't have a gay and straight Love Island, though. I do think that's a... You might be able to chuck in the odd bisexual contestant, which they've done before, right?
I know, but a lot of people back in the day was like, make it diverse. Yeah. But actually, I do think logistically, it would be a struggle just to make that work.
Yeah.
I mean, and we're here for diversity. Secret. Me and Stephen do sometimes bet for that team, but don't tell anyone. So it's just a tricky one.
I get it. Yeah, I mean, I do watch Love Island sort of on and off every season, but I agree with the guy you were talking to about I Kissed a Boy. It's really shown how you can do it. The BBC have done an excellent job. It's not long enough. It's only 8 episodes, but you know, it's a really great idea. It's been well executed. They're in like an Italian messeria, as Danny Minogue calls it. And, you know, great cast of diverse group of guys, different body sizes, from different backgrounds, from all over the UK. Like, it's been done really well.
I'm waiting for a celeb special.
What celebs do you want to kiss, Bob?
Oh, what?
Because that's the thing. The first thing you have to do on I Kiss the Boy is kiss someone.
Oh,
so they match you up.
I don't do that on the first date, Stephen.
You just go straight for the...
No, I don't do anything. I will have a lemon and herb, maybe a bit of halloumi and chilli jam.
Right, for a bit of spice.
And then we're going home separately.
Every time? You've never broken that rule?
Shut up. Oh, I don't know. I've never thought who I would want to do it with, but... Well, I mean, I just want to meet a Minogue.
Yeah, I mean, that's true, yeah.
Danny, Kylie, I'll take any.
Or what's up with their brother called? Chris?
Chris sounds Minogue. Good to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, Love Island, there has been a lot of Love Island. Let's say it how it is. But
you just want the gays.
Shock horror.
Yeah. Shock well, horror. I'm going to have to stop you there, babe, because we could talk about gays all day. But we've got guests and we've got a show. And we have got the lovely Thomas Hartley from Married at First Sight UK joining us on Zoom.
FUBAR Radio presents...
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's Fan Club.
We're joined in the studio now by one of my favourite comedians, Rhys James. I always say in taxis and stuff like that, I always say I'm a writer.
Yeah, me too. Have I told you this story before?
No.
The time I got in a taxi. And I always used to do that writer because you don't want to have the conversation with the taxi driver about being a comedian.
But the follow-up question is just you can't get out of, which is, what do you write?
Yeah,
I write sitcoms.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. So I was in this taxi. He goes, what sort of stuff do you write? And I went, comedy. I thought... Yeah, and then he went, oh, what type of comedy do you write? And I said, satire. And then the taxi driver said, you know what they say? Satire is the lowest form of wit.
Access all areas.
We have got Lily in the house.
So excited to be here. The problem is, when you start getting a few followers on Instagram, people will look at you.
Mm.
People want to get to know you. They will, and girls and guys, will not give a fuck. And if you are out on a night out and you're a guy and some, you know, hot girl comes up to you, like, it happens. And guys are going to be like, oh my God, and so they suddenly get all this attention. And my boyfriend has joined me on Made in Chelsea. And I remember when the producers called me to be like, look, we want Billy on the show. I was like, is this a good idea? Like, not that he'd cheat, but
it's
like...
It's a risky move, though.
It is. It's like, because this could, like, this person I love and I, like, want to be with him forever. But if... This could fuck up everything.
Politics Uncensored. I am delighted to be joined by Patsy Stevenson this week. You went to the vigil and you had, you were arrested, and the picture of your arrest was in every newspaper and I think on the feed of every person in this country's social media. Do you mind talking to us a little bit about why you went and what you think that has sparked now, the conversation around policing and how important that is?
The reason that my picture went viral is much to do with the fact that I'm white and because of the way I look. And a lot of other people who are arrested unlawfully, they don't get platforms, they don't get book deals, you know what I mean?
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
Thomas Hartley, how are you, babe?
I'm fine, love. How are you?
Really good, thank you. Really good. I love your little blinged up cup.
Yeah, we saw that coming on screen.
Yeah, well, it's got me drag name on it. It's gorge.
Now, Pam Sandwich is a brilliant drag name. I'm surprised it wasn't taken already.
Well, no, because it's for icons only, love.
How do you decide on a name? Because I always think that it's... It's quite a statement. So it's like naming yourself. I think it's hard enough
naming
a
child.
A dog. Well, I named a child.
I think it was more to do with me nan always used to make me an ambusty when I was little. And I thought, I can't take her name because it's quite insulting being a drag queen and taking me nan's name, you know what I mean? So I just thought, what's the closest thing to ham? And it was ham.
So love that. And it works, that is, babe. It
very
works.
Very good. Very good. What an honour.
Absolute honour. So it... being named after a ham sandwich.
So is Pam keeping you busy?
Very. Yeah. She's keeping me very busy because obviously Pride's coming up as well.
Of course.
I think it's that sort of thing, isn't it? People want to see drag queens more and more and more. And I think in the current climate as well, where drag queens are being treated like criminals, it's, someone's got to have a big mouth and come out and sort of say what they've got to say.
That's a good point. We'll get around to Married at First Sight, but that's actually a really interesting point that you say there, because, and I think it's something we haven't really discussed a lot here. Like, being a drag queen in the current environment and sort of going out there into bars and clubs, how does it feel? Is there any weird...
It feels amazing this city.
Right, yeah.
In my city, it feels amazing. We've obviously just had Eurovision.
I was there.
It was surrounded by drag queens. I was walking down the streets. People wanted pictures. I mustn't be a very good drag queen because everyone recognised me still from Married to First Sight. On and a wig. I tried to up my makeup game then.
Yeah, you're going to have to do like a Trixie Mattel and be like a complete...
I'm going to have to. I'm going to
Well, that's good to hear because I think, yeah, in the current environment, there's a lot of hatred out there in the world, and drag queens and trans people really seem to be taking the brunt of it from people.
So one step just, forward, 15 back.
It all comes round full circle, doesn't it? I think... Next, it'll be gay people again, or it'll be black people or Asian people. Or...
I think we're almost there, aren't we? I think the hate's there for everyone at the minute.
We've ticked every box. I think, well, they are, but not me. I love everyone.
Yeah, not nice.
As we should. So, Pam... Pam's the future.
I thought you were calling him Pam then when he's out of drag.
No, Pam. She's the future, is that where...
Pam is the future, yeah. I mean, the thing is, obviously, the type of show that I was on, I wasn't able to sort of display the talent that I've got. And I can sing and I can dance and I can do all of those things. And I've got a big mouth and I'm funny. So, you know, I was sort of born really to be a drag queen. And I feel amazing doing it. And it's definitely something that, you know, I'm glad that I've pursued because people seem to like it. And, you know, ultimately, as much as you sort of, you know, I've got a big mouth and an opinion, I love making people laugh. And I think when we're in the current climate, like we've just been talking about, it's nice to have people sort of find some joy in someone else being funny and making them laugh.
Yeah.
Because I agree.
The climate's a shit sandwich at the minute, so...
So
bring on Pam's sandwich because we're sick of the shit sandwiches. Pam's. For anyone that's a minority group, we're just all getting it at the minute.
It's true.
It is literally one step forward, 15 back. But obviously we can't not touch upon Married at First Sight UK.
Absolutely.
Hell.
What would you like to touch upon, my love?
I want the tea on everything. So you've come out and you said you don't speak to anyone from the show anymore.
I don't know.
No, and is that a conscious decision?
Adrian, we reunited at the premiere for I Kissed a Boy on BBC Three.
Oh, that was in Liverpool as well, wasn't it? Yeah.
It was in Liverpool, and it was sort of like around Eurovision. So we met up, we went there, got some photos, whatever, as a little chat and that. But ultimately, you know, I think there's a lot of... emphasis put on these relationships that you build on reality television shows. My friends in the real world, I've been friends with them for 20 years and I was only with them people for 8 weeks. It's not like someone hasn't died. It's just that, you know, you grow apart and you go on and do your own thing and live your own life. It's not, I don't wish any of them any bad blows. I just don't really care.
Yeah. And there's a difference between wishing someone bad blood and just not giving someone the steam off your piss. Do you know what I mean?
Like,
and there is a huge difference. But, I mean, I've never married anyone on TV, but I know how people are when they watch reality shows and you've had relationships. So when anything's on reality TV, and not knocking it, a lot of people think they're entitled, and maybe they are, it's on TV, they're entitled to their opinions, whether you want them or not, especially after a breakup.
Opinions are like arseholes.
Yeah.
Everyone's got one and they're usually full of shit. So if it's not paying my bills or feeding me or taking me to bed at night, I shouldn't give a flying goose.
No. So do you not give a shit? Like when people, because I'm sure you get it on social, especially after being married, people must have chimed up and put their two pennies in.
Oh, yeah. And I just say thanks for the year observation. I mean, well, I'm not watching them. They're watching me. Like, I'm not, I don't even know who they are. I'm not going to give their opinion any mind. It's not going to keep me up at night.
No, that's
good. You
know
what I mean? So I think you've got to be in a really healthy, you know yourself, it's like preaching to the converted. You have to put yourself in a healthy mind space to do these things because you are under a microscope.
Yeah.
And they will pick every single part of your past, your appearance, your looks, your voice, everything about you. So, it's, you know, you can't win. And I think the sooner you sort of accept yourself and just go, well, you know, I can't change these things, so I don't really care what you've got to say.
And I used to think, is it because I'd done Terry for the best part of, well, 10 and a half plus years, that probably gave me a thick skin. But I think as gay men, especially, I don't know how old you are, if you don't mind me asking, but I mean,
32 I am.
So I think, there ain't a gay man, I think, in the UK that's in his 30s that doesn't have some kind of thick skin. There isn't a gay slur you could call me that I've not heard. Do you know what I mean? We was kind of at that cusp of an age where, I mean, I've been called a pillar bite. I've never bit a pillar in my life. But there's nothing that actually bothers me. And I would always go, when I put my head on my Egyptian cotton pillowcase, I'm going to sleep just fine tonight. Do you know what I mean?
Because I just think, where did they get that information from when they're saying things like pillow bites? Because unless I've been with them or their dad, how would they know?
But it genuinely don't bother me because I've been called, as I'm sure we all have, like every, and I'm not making fun of it because there's obviously...
No, because it can be hurtful.
Abuse is it's wrong. It's, obviously. But I think sadly you become immune to it and we shouldn't have to, but I think...
No, we shouldn't have to. But I do think it's sort of as well, you sort of reclaim it. Like for me, if someone shouts back at me in the streets, I sort of feel like going, well, it's like telling me I've got green eyes because I know what I do when I go to bed.
It's true, completely.
I definitely think.
I've been out for 17 years. I mean, nothing you can say to me, I don't already know.
Yeah, it's like they're telling us for the first time. Yeah, completely.
It's about reclaiming the word queer, right? I mean, like a lot of older gay guys find it quite confronting that.
So that was a
gay guy
school.
We'll
that was
them.
A derogatory way. If someone said queer, you would have a tear up in a car park over there.
Yeah, fair. Yeah, but now it's an actual identity term. Yeah. You know, people use it to identify themselves, and actually that's exactly how you win, because once you've taken the steam out of those words. Yeah. What more power does it have?
Yeah, take the venom out the bee's arse and it is what it is.
Yeah, but exactly.
Absolutely.
And if it don't bother us, let it bother them. I just don't understand in 2023, in any terms of whether it's race, sexuality, anything like that, transphobia, if something's bothering you that don't affect your life, why are they bothered? I don't understand. When people close their doors, whatever you want to do, if you ain't hurting no one, have a lovely time.
Yeah, it's true.
Do you know what
Absolutely.
I mean?
Yeah.
They just want to villainise minorities that are already sort of seen as taboo in lots of cultures or, you know, not fully wholeheartedly accepted because they're an easy target. You'd never find some white, rich, straight, cisgendered man being villainised or targeted because they're born with a natural privilege. But the likes of us, we're already on the back bus. Women, back bus, black people, back bus, trans people, black. You know, you're already different from that sort of dominant figure. You know, it's just disgusting to me. It's bullying.
Yeah.
Thomas, any advice? Out of the three of us, you're the only one that's been married. Any marital advice for me and Stephen? Because we're still Mr. Right.
Make sure they're really, really fit and really, really quiet and are really, really well endowed.
Okay, so no chat, big Corey, and tick.
And just make sure, just like a nice person who's chill, who can put up with some. I don't know what you're like. Well, I know what you're like, Bobby, from watching the telly, but I wouldn't make an assumption because it's telly. But, you know, I'm high maintenance, so I need someone who's very low maintenance.
You need your yin to your yang.
I just need someone who tells me to shut the fuck up occasionally.
Yeah.
But not every time.
No, not every time. Like, other times, they sort of, they just sit there and let me do carry on woeful, and then that's it. Just.
So, Thomas, from your list, I don't mean to pry or talk personal, but are you telling me that your ex-husband didn't tick them boxes?
No.
Any of them or certain ones? Would you like to divulge?
We'll leave it there, Bobby.
Ah, fair dose, fair
dose. Do you regret doing the show, or are you pleased that you did it?
I don't regret doing it. I think that the, unfortunately, like the things that would have come after for it, because it was really, it was very popular and it's done really well. Was sort of hindered by when people go on these big tangents about the edit, or they go on these big tangents about allegations being made or whatever it was that went on. I think that sort of hindered anyone else's opportunity to sort of grow to the level that they could have grown. You know, like, obviously, lots of people were like, the edit done me dirty. My outlook on that is that if it comes out your mouth, you said it. So it's a double-sided thing. I don't regret it, but I wish that people had been more sort of accepting of their own behaviour and gone, you know what, I fucked up there. But it is what it is.
I guess
you grow and you learn and you watch yourself back. And I think one of the biggest tools was being able to watch myself back on the telly, because it's allowed me to go, oh, I don't like that, or oh, I like that about myself, or, you know, and sort of, you'd have a mirror held up to you.
Oh, the biggest mirror. And then social as well. Oh, yeah.
I don't think I'd be very good at dealing with that, I think, to be honest. I don't think I would want that.
Surprised, you know.
Really? What did you learn then? What did you learn?
To shut the fuck up.
And no one had ever told you that before.
Well, of course they have. They don't normally pop over to you in the street and go, shut the fuck up. You're being watched by millions of people, and I don't film myself talking. Prior to that, I wasn't like one of these fame seekers. You know, some of them had been on like 3 and 4 reality TV shows.
Yeah, right.
And were thinking, why aren't I famous? And I was thinking, well, because you're boring. But, you know, I went on for a husband.
Yeah, which I think a lot of people on certain reality, well, on a lot of reality shows, let's have it right. I think we're getting to a stage where reality TV is no longer the new kid on the block. No. And I think, without naming names, I think there's certain situations and certain shows people go on now just for fame. I think they want the blue tick on social media. They want the followers. They want the ads and the sponsored posts. What do you reckon?
I think it becomes a liquidated market when you're just churning out people every year. Same thing, same thing, same thing, same thing. Where's, like, the representation for everyone? I'm as much as everyone loves looking at someone who's, like, aesthetically pleasing and beautiful, I also love the likes of, I don't know, say, Alison Hammond, who's beautiful but completely outside the convention. That's the type of person I want to see on telly. That's the person that would influence me to want to buy something. Not some girl with hair extensions, fake nails. And I'm not general. Actually, I am. I'm not, you know, trying to be general, but, you know, that's boring now. Yeah. I get it. You're beautiful, wonderful, marvellous, but you've got the personality of a fucking toenail. And I am bored of it. It's boring.
I think that's a good point. And actually, we were discussing earlier about I Kissed a Boy. And obviously you went to the premiere. I do think one thing that they have tried to do, which is slightly different to Love Island, is provide a slightly more diverse cast. I mean, like, just...
I absolutely agree with that. And I think, do you know what I do find? They'll go like, this girl's plus size and she's a size 14. I don't think that's plus size, my love. In fact, when you put in plus size, it starts at a 16 at least. So what your idea of plus size is, I haven't got a fucking clue.
That's the thing nowadays, and especially the way social media is. Oh, thank you so much, Thomas. It was so lovely to catch up with you.
It was lovely to catch up with you too.
Yeah, thank you for coming on. Really appreciate it.
We'll have to speak soon. Send our love to Pam, won't you, darling?
Pam's in the box, love, Ali.
Send our love.
It sounds like Lily Savage, love it.
Take care, Thomas.
Bye.
Bye, babe.
Bye.
Oh, nice chat.
Yeah, really good chat. And I'm always interested with those dating shows, like how they feel about it afterwards.
Always, yeah. Especially because, like he says, obviously what comes out your mouth comes out your mouth, but you never know how you're going to be edited until you do watch it. So it's always nice to speak to someone. And we've got a thick and fast show tonight, so we're going to go into a little trail and then we're going straight into our interview with Stuart and Francis, and they're here in the studio.
Fabulous, let's get them in.
Let's do it.
FUBAR Radio presents...
Access all areas.
There was an interesting no-show, I thought, in Harry Styles. Apparently he didn't come because both Olivia Wilde, his ex-girlfriend, and Emily Emrata was there too, and he was pictured kissing her recently in Japan.
Lucky care.
Apparently he avoided because best not to be around two women you've recently been with, I guess, if you're Harry Styles.
See, if I'd have been there, I'd have said to both of them, piss off. Harry, let's go and have a gin and tonic.
So joining us now, we have Count Binface, an independent space warrior. I just wanted to quickly ask you one last question. Let's say you had won that election and you became prime minister. You know, what are some of the big things you'd like to change? What are some of the big things you believe in that our politics needs?
Well, why don't we talk about the old royal family? Because, you know, I don't wish to abolish them like some people do. No. I merely wish to solidify their ceremonial role so that they become the living, breathing version of Madame Tussauds that deep down the public wants. The Dating
Show. Again, I've been out on dates where people have gone, oh, like, what do you do? Why do they want pictures? And then I'll just go, oh, listen, I'll do little bits on TV, that's it. And then 2 hours later, when they've had a few drinks, they start going, so tell me what happened with this girl. What happened with this? What happened with that? And I thought you didn't know.
Well, this is why I think I struggle with my date life, because I just see myself as me. You know, I'm from Oxford, moved to London. That's it. I have a great group of friends. That's as simple as my life is. When I go to date someone, I don't see myself as, oh, I'm a girl that works on TV. I just see myself as me. But then I'm reminded by some of the things that they might do.
You're listening to Fubar Radio.
Fubar Radio.
Fubar Radio.
Fubar Radio.
Fubar Radio.
Welcome back, guys. It is Access All Areas, and we are live on Fubar Radio. And we have got Stuart and Francis in the house.
Hello.
How are you, boys?
Just living our best lives.
I feel like we're like entering a club.
Well, we've got a couple of little drinks on the go. The aircon's on.
Why not? Yeah, we'll put the aircon on. Sun's out in London.
The lights in here are quite intense, to be fair, aren't
they? Yeah, we need lighting. We're at that stage in life.
Yeah, that's why I shouldn't have worn the hat today.
Don't tell anyone we turned 21 last week. So,
Bob, you've got to stop recycling that joke.
I'm starting to believe that we are 21. But boys, how are you? You're keeping well.
We're so good.
Loving life.
I was just about to say, I need the lights because our son keeps us up in the night. I know. He's fantastic.
How is he?
He's fantastic.
Yeah,
he's the best thing that's ever happened to us, I think.
That is so true. So cheesy, but so true.
Yeah, so for anyone that doesn't know, basically you're documenting your lives basically on TikTok, right?
Yeah.
As gay dads. With one son, and you've got another one
on the way.
Yeah,
literally 3 months today.
I know,
like it's
exciting.
Crazy. I know, a little girl.
We were saying in the car on the way here, we have bought absolutely nothing.
No,
nothing.
I feel like with the first one, we were so like prepared.
Yeah.
Whereas with Rio, with the next baby, we were just like, it's going to happen, and we'd be like, we'll get everything sorted.
You know what
I'm sure.
I thought you were going to do? I thought you were going to say her name. So we've like chosen a name, but we're not going to tell anyone.
Oh, okay, fine.
Don't say it on live or air.
On the radio.
How did it all start for you then, like this kind of TikTok journey? Because you have a lot of followers, right?
Yeah. We basically, when we're looking into surrogacy, I think the first thing that everyone does is go online and try to find other couples that are doing the same thing as you. And there was just no representation at all on social media from couples in the UK. Because I was like messaging couples, because surrogacy is so confusing when you first get started with it. So I was messaging couples over in America that had done it to kind of like ask them questions on like, where do you get started? And there were some really lovely people that got back to me and helped me. But I really wanted to be that kind of port of call for people here in the UK, other gay couples. And I just thought we should just like start talking about, you know, how we've done it and our story.
Now, I'm assuming you both are probably born the same kind of era as us. So we're both born late 80s.
Yeah.
And we grew up...
Very, very late 80s.
But we grew up with zero gay representation. Yep. Zero positive gay representation. Yeah. Absolutely zero gay family representation. Mm-hmm. So we just felt like, you know, things are changing now, and we just felt like we needed to be that representation for future gay families as well.
Yeah,
and
just
to, you know, Elton John has a family, but you never see any of that online. And I think it's raising awareness and just allowing people to peer in and just, but we just make sure we just have as much fun as possible with all our content. It's just joyful.
Did you ever find, and this might sound odd, but years ago on TV, I remember always, because I've always wanted to, before people was even been doing, but I always wanted to be a dad, because I think, because I'm an only child, I think some people just are born, is a man, are you maternal as a man? Is it still
paternal?
Paternal.
But you can
thank
be
you.
Maternal as a man.
Yeah, yeah, of course, yes, that's true. That's true.
I always. Oh God. Stephen's cancelled. But I always knew that I would love to, if I met the right guy, I'd love a family. I remember speaking out about it, and so many people, and it weren't just like, obviously, there was a few homophobes. But even some men from our community was like, Bobby, but as gay men, the perk is that we don't have to work. Like, we could just go out forever and not settle down. We don't have to get married. We don't have to. And I was like, but I don't want to be that man in a bar at 92. Do you know what I mean?
Okay, I'm representing those.
He wants to be the 92-year-old in GAY, the Jaeger bomb. Yeah. No disrespect to GAY, but... I think, until I spoke about it, I didn't realise actually there's a proper mixed bag when it comes to surrogacy and gay men speaking about being parents. So I love what you do and are open about it.
It's just allowing people to think that that's possible. Because before you would think, okay, I'm never going to have kids. I am going to be in GAY when I'm 92. But now if you can see that it's possible.
Too.
Yeah, that's fun too. Yeah. If you can see it's possible, then for those who want families... then they can go, oh, it's possible.
But I think for us also, like, we worked really, really hard. We were doing really well and we were going on all these amazing holidays. And then there was a part of us that was just like, I want to be able to share this with, like a family of some kind, whether how we were going to do that. And we looked into surrogacy years before, but we were always worried whether we could, you know, do it or whatever. And then literally the pandemic hit and we were like, I think this is the... Well, I walked into the front room and was like, Francis, we're having a baby.
And then what happens in a relationship, he, like, sets what, the idea and then I just go along with it.
Right, okay. Yeah, that sounds like
it
a
really
gay relationship.
Works.
Well, I've got a friend going who's gone through adoption. Mm-hmm. Him and his husband have... they got their little boy in January. It's hard.
Yeah.
It's really hard. Like, fatherhood is hard.
Yeah.
Your TikTok is probably on the lighter side of stuff. Mm-hmm. Is that a conscious decision to keep it like that?
I think in general, we're both quite a positive kind of characters and we always see the good in everything. But what would you say, Francis?
I mean, I never put Rio screaming online because figure out, you know, if he's screaming, I want to be there for him. I don't want to be filming him. So
it's not content.
And he's pretty good in general.
He's pretty good, but like recently he's gone through like a toddler development and he started to get like bitchy. And I did make a vlog about kind of the changes and his temper and people were like, mine too. So it helps people to realize that it's just kind of everyone goes through it. But
naturally, we always look on the positive of everything. Yeah. Something terrible happens to us and we're just like, well, there's a reason for this and, you know, we can see the positive in it.
But also, like, it was so hard for us to have children. We don't want to moan about it. I know most parents moan about having kids, but I don't want to moan about it because it's such a privilege.
Yes.
And, you know.
So I think maybe it is a conscious thing that we have decided that, we don't want to be moaning.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. And that's exactly why you should be fathers and I should not be. And my social media is just me whinging.
I'm intrigued to ask this, and I don't know if anyone else, so forgive me because I don't know if you're probably bored of this question, but is there a difference? Because obviously, as gay men, women, you've got a boy. We know our boys' stuff works. We're men. The fact you've got a little girl on the way, does that scare you slightly? Because that's always the thing about being like, oh, it's got...
I know, this is it's an interesting question, but all of my friends are girls. I don't have, like, gay friendships really very much at all. Not, like, maybe
not
more
it wasn't
now.
It was a conscious decision, but...
Yeah,
we went
to drama school and all of my girls, all my friends were girls. Yeah. And so I actually feel much more comfortable with girls than I do with boys. Yeah. It's so interesting and I'm really excited.
But in terms of parenting adult, do you think it'll be the same as a boy?
Well, girls are always a bit more challenging, aren't they?
Goals.
In life. But that's why I
cancel him! Cancel him!
No, not in a bad way. But I just love women. I love
I want to do, just not like that.
Yeah, exactly.
I think what I what they say is that boys tend to be harder in terms of this kind of like 18 months to 4 or 5 because they're like more rowdy, generally, stereotypically.
Laddish.
But girls become more of a problem when they turn into their teens. So, right. I mean, that's what people say.
Because that's what would scare me, because when girls start getting to that age... I'd be that dead. I'd be like, you ain't going out.
I think I'm just going to encourage her, though. I'm going to go for it. Yeah. Come on, shorter.
Go and get them legs.
Have you ever done a TikTok video that you've like got all ready and done and then been like, I don't think we should post this? Have you ever done that?
Not really. I think anyone, like, we know when we're
going to... You also like high production values as well. There's a lot going on.
Yeah. We know, like, we did... it was a trending audio that was like, yes... no, yes, and yeah. We did put a series of questions on, like, does he have two? Does he have a mum? And it was like, no, and we know that that's going to stir those people up that are traditional family people. Yeah,
right.
Like sometimes we're like, oh, you know, but
it got 10 million views.
Yeah, sure. So like, fuck them. Like, yeah.
So there was a lot of hate, but at the same time there was, you know,
we get very little hate though.
Really,
yeah. Touchwood. We're like. Really grateful.
Yeah, that. I was not expecting it. I was expecting to receive a lot, but actually everything throughout all our content is just everyone's so positive about it. So it's I'm really shocked and really happy at the same time that
I guess with an algorithm, people are only seeing the content that they want to see, right? Unless they're seeking it out.
Yeah.
And that's kind
so
of
when something goes
TikTok.
Super viral, then it hits like get all multiple different languages.
Yeah.
Like, I have no idea what to say.
You see that translation button.
You know, the thing for us, obviously, deciding to document our life like was a decision that we had to make. But we decided that, you know, we wanted to represent our family. But like the other day, I was like walking around London, went to a Pret, and this woman served me. And she was like, oh, I follow you on TikTok. And then she was like, you're the first gay dads I've ever seen.
Wow.
And I could see that she was from a different religion. And I just knew... wow, what impact are you making? Yeah. Like a religion that maybe would be not welcoming.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I just thought that those.
That's how conversations start. Yeah. That's how change happens.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, I don't consider us activists, but we're like silent activists because I want to make people laugh and just people aren't scared of things that aren't fearful.
Mm.
So
yeah.
Hopefully people see our family and like, oh, they're two dads. We're two dads, but it's not the fact we're two dads, we're two people. And we're parents like any other parents. Yeah. We just happen to both.
Because education is key, isn't it? And until something becomes, and that's what's lovely about social media, when you see things, because I don't think anyone's born homophobic, no one's born racist. They're things people inherit or they learn. No one's born each. You know, I don't believe anyone's born evil with any hate. So until you're opened up and you're seeing things, that's how people are going to grow in the next generation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Touch wood becomes more accepting and then we just pass it down.
Yeah,
and that's how it should be.
And I feel like we're really seeing that as well. Like
so our Rio surrogate's kids were 9 and 13 when their mum decided to be our surrogate. And the way they accepted the situation was just incredible. Like they don't have any prejudice about it or kind of like, of course, yeah.
And she found out about it on Friends. Like she knew about surrogacy because she watched it on TV
with
Phoebe.
Oh my God, that's such a good... Yeah, and that's exactly it, right?
And so it wasn't weird for her because she'd seen it on TV. And that's kind of like what we're really trying to do with our whole kind of TikTok and everything is just allow people to peer into two dads bringing up a baby.
Yeah,
So I know number two isn't here yet, but she's only, 3 months away today. Yeah. Is there a third on the horizon?
No.
Two's enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I feel like we'll be complete at two, for sure. Definitely. We have got lots more embryos going, but I don't think...
I know, because we had loads of embryos left, so it's kind of like we could have the Von Trapp family.
I might have a couple of eggs off you. Give me a year or two. But you know what? Again, because it's not really, I think, until you're a parent, you don't think like that. But I've got friends that... it's not until, I think, you have triplets or people have twins and they've already got two... something that would never be on my mind. I was like, Bob, holidays generally are for four.
Yeah.
Cars, things that I've never thought about. She's like, when you've got three kids and there's two, but she's like, five, it don't work.
No. Yeah,
even rides at the theme park. And I was like, I've never thought like that.
How do you think people like Angelina Jolie deal with it? You know,
well, she's got private jets.
Got money,
I think she probably just hires out Alton Towers. I don't think she's, she's not getting her day pass. But no, keep doing what you're doing, honestly.
Oh, thank you.
I think, honestly, if it helps one person and it's helping more than one, and we need to see that.
But I do want to ask, though, has your relationship changed?
We just bicker a little bit more sometimes. Yeah.
I think
how long have you been together?
13 years.
Right.
So we're just more tired, I think, is as a general thing. So it's a little bit more.
I actually said in the car on the way here, so you know, when baby number two comes, we just need to make sure we give ourselves time because, yeah, like, I love you and I want to continue loving you. When you're in the day-to-day logistics of babies, it just takes over. So
yeah.
Just be mindful.
Interesting. I'm still not going to do it. Do you know what, though? I do find it's one of the things that's we're running out of time, but I do find one of the funny things is that, like, people don't believe that I don't want to do it. I get a lot of that from, like, women I work with, and they're like, you do, though. And I'm like, no, I'm quite confident in my choice that I've never seen my life with children. I have nephews who I love very much. But some people do find it hard to accept, right?
Yeah, I think that's even harder for women as well. Like, women
that don't want kids.
That's for some people just so strange because it's so out of the norm as well.
Yeah. But I like having kids in my life. I don't know. That's weird. I'm long term single, so maybe it's just like.
I don't think anyone should shame someone for that. Because being a parent is, and that, clearly it's a responsibility. I think you even know by our age if you do or you don't.
Yeah, and we really did. We talked about it throughout our whole relationship.
Did you always know you wanted to be a dad?
I just didn't, because there wasn't the representation. I didn't know it was possible.
Yeah, but you weren't Stephen going, never.
No.
But when we were growing up, you couldn't even get married. So it's a completely different mindset to get yourself into. And I think our generation have suffered from that because you don't grow up thinking you're going to be able to get married. And that does change your mindset.
Yeah.
But I think that was the hardest thing about accepting my sexuality was thinking I kind of knew I wanted that. Would it be I just wanted the traditional, I'm going to call it just the family unit. I wanted. I knew I wanted a husband. We weren't allowed at the time. And I wanted kids. It weren't even on the cards. But I think that was the harder thing about coming out when we was young because it was like, well, you can't even have it.
Yeah.
And you want what you can't have.
Yeah, it's true.
So that's why Stephen's happy to be the boy with his tequila slammers till midnight when he's 92.
Wandering up and down Old Compton Street.
And good luck to you.
I'm the bad influence. Yeah, no, honestly, though, it's really exciting. And it's great to see what you're doing. And I think it's like more power to you. Like, and you've got a busy time coming up. This first Christmas is going to be a lot. Right?
I know, it's going to be... I'm so excited because that was the thing when, you know, the thing about kids, the Christmas times are, you know, so exciting. And I feel like the first, when we go on holiday for the first time with Rio, it was just so exciting to explore again. And that's, for us, was just amazing.
Has he ever questioned it, though? Has he ever asked, like, where is his mummy or anything?
No, he's got a clue. he's still not at that stage yet. He's only 18 months, so he's still no idea.
See, this is how I'd have no idea even when they start talking.
Yeah.
So.
No, he's saying words. He's saying words. Yeah. But... yeah, he's not at that stage, but...
when he's ready, and we'll be ready to chat to him exactly how he came to
be. Yeah.
But other gay parents that I follow online, they don't seem to, like... their kids are just so happy.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm not sure. As long as you're happy and feel secure,
I don't think he ever would ask.
I'm not sure.
Not
until he goes to school, and then he's like, oh, maybe I am... have got a different kind of situation.
That's actually true, because that's when my nephew asked to my sister, where's Uncle Steve's wife? And my sister was like, right, here we go.
Yeah.
And then one time I was working, I'm a journalist, and I was working from home over Christmas, and there was a picture of Princess Diana on my screen because I worked for a magazine. And he was like, is that your wife? And I was like, you've got a lot to learn, boy.
Well, she was wearing a tiara.
No.
But I think that is exactly what, I mean, we joke about it, but that is how the next generation learns, because when he goes, it's going to go, I don't, and it will be just as it should be, just the conversation, I've got two dads.
Yeah.
Mm. And then every kid in that class in that year just knows that's a thing.
Yeah.
So when they have, that's how you pass things down.
Yeah, and I feel like we're still learning. We've got so much to learn on this journey of, like, parenthood. Yeah. Like, how to navigate all of the questions and all those kind of things. And I think, like, even, like, what we call each other, like, do you call daddy or dadda or whatever.
Do you have a dad and a dadda?
I'm dadda at the minute. That's the only word you can say.
And
he's daddy.
You're the daddy.
This can get problematic. I feel bad for gay parents.
When he turns like 12, 13, he's still having to call me daddy. I'm like, we might need to reach
you. We'll evaluate this.
My friends went with dad and papa.
Yeah.
The thing is, like, Papa, my mum's Dutch, my dad's Norwegian, so Papa could have worked, but I don't like the way English people say Papa. It sounds like, I don't know, I just...
A bit like Mary Poppins.
And a lot of people use it for granddad now.
Yeah. That's true.
And you don't want to be granddad.
And I didn't want him to go to school and say, that's my Papa, and people are like, what's that? I want him to be like, no, that's my dad.
That's my daddy.
Yeah, my dad.
So it's too much grind on that Stephen thing.
I'm not saying
that. But if it ever happens to me, you're the boys I'm calling, because this is how I'm going to learn it.
We'll tell you everything.
Oh, thank you so much for coming into this, JoJo. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Oh, yeah,
really nice. So excited to have you.
Thank you. Yeah,
thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. But what a lovely show.
Lovely show. Very gay. How disappointing.
We're always waving our flag. We've got Pride coming up. Boys, anything for Pride?
Yeah. What are we doing for Pride? We went to our first Pride last year. Can you even believe that? We didn't ever go to a Pride before. And then last year, we literally went to Brighton Pride, London Pride. We always go every Pride.
Oh my God, a lot.
We're gay. Who knew?
Don't tell anyone, guys. It's a secret. Well, thanks for tuning in. And you know where we're at. We'll be in next week. FubarRadio.com. Have a lovely week. From me, it's goodbye.
Good night. Goodbye.